Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Students, regardless of attending single-sex or co-educational schools, favour the co-educational model, while staff and parents have different views. That's according to new research which is out this morning from the ESRI. It also found that only a small minority of students find learning Irish interesting. Well, for more on this, I'm joined here in the studio by Dr. Eamon Carroll, who's postdoctoral researcher with the ESRI, and I'm joined on the line by Craig Petrie, who's principal of East Glendalough Secondary School in Wicklow. Eamon, I'll start with you. Thanks very much for coming in this morning. So the research that you've done, this clear majority of students, they'd prefer to go to mixed schools, would they, rather than single-sex schools?
Yeah, so the way that the question was framed was actually, would you prefer if your school was mixed or single-sex? So maybe they want to stay in the school that they're in, but they would prefer that it was mixed. So yeah, we were really taken aback by the scale of the preference. So, you know, fewer than 20% of students in a single-sex would prefer that their school remained single-sex.
Mm-hmm.
And 66%, two-thirds of them, said that they would prefer the school was mixed. And in the mixed schools, it was nearly 90% said that they preferred the school mix as it is. And only 4% would have preferred single-sex.
And did you ask them why?
Yes, we did. So the main things that came out were just around the kind of socialisation of a mixed school, that it was better for boys and girls to be meeting each other, both better in school and then after school. A lot of them mentioned the fact that you weren't going to be in a gender segregated environment after school anywhere, whereas for 6 years it was all boys or all girls. A number of them said that they thought that maybe academically the single sex school might be better, that they were working better. But, you know, that wasn't university health. And even a lot of students who felt that still felt that it would be worth being in a mixed school for the overall mm-hmm. benefits.
And staff then have a different view, have they?
So the staff had a slightly different view. A lot of the staff in single-sex schools, there were some who felt that it would be better mixed, but liked the school generally, were happy to stay there. Either way, there were some who felt that, girls especially learned better in single-sex environments, that boys maybe had a tendency to take over the classroom. And some who felt that boys that learned better, that they might be embarrassed maybe being seen to be learning in front of girls. But then equally, there were some teachers in mixed schools who felt that they kind of complemented each other nicely, that in all girls schools, maybe you could have an excess of pressure and an over academic focus. And in boys schools, I think one of them used the word feral, that it could get a bit out of hand. So having both together kind of evened things out.
Well, Craig, it might be good to get a view from you on this before we go any further, because it's just really interesting that Eamon says that concerns were raised by some staff and some parents around the attainments and achievements of the children who are in the mixed schools. Is that well founded?
It's not really at all, Claire. I mean, certainly what we'd find as a co-ed school is that by the time the boys catch up maturity-wise in fifth and sixth year, that they do start to get the head down and get working, and they're not afraid to be seen working. And I suppose across the board, I mean, you look at the PISA studies from the OECD, they would back up that when you control for all the other factors, that actually boys and girls attain very well in co-ed schools and are at least on a par with those who are in single-sex schools. So it's not what we'd see. And as I say, by the time the boys catch up maturity-wise for the girls in fifth and sixth year, we would see them start to excel and push on, mm-hmm. not in a way that's obstructive to girls, not in a way that's difficult.
There you go. And then on the subject of school ethos, Eamon, pupils and staff members, they were happy if their school had a religious ethos, even if they weren't religious themselves.
Yeah, exactly. So it was a bit nuanced. Basically, we were in schools, mostly schools with a Catholic ethos, because most of the schools in the sector would have a Catholic ethos, but also in a school with a Church of Ireland ethos and two Educate Together schools. And in all of them, basically, the staff who were there had kind of bought into the ethos of the school, whichever type of school it was, even if they weren't fully on board with the religious side of things in the Catholic schools or in the Church of Ireland school. So they felt that what was important about the ethos was the sense of community that it generated in the school, the way it informed their kind of treating of students with respect,
mm-hmm.
and the kind of holistic development that most of the ethoses saw as the goal of the school, to bring students not just to teach them academically, but to develop them as humans into, you know, adults who are capable of navigating the world.
OK, because we heard last week that very many of the teachers in religious ethos schools are not practicing members of that religion.
Yeah, exactly. Like, look, if you look at the census, the numbers of practicing schools or practicing adults is going down all the time. So, you know, it's going to trickle into schools. And maybe the Church of Ireland School was an interesting case study here in that most of the teachers, or a lot of them, wouldn't have been practicing Church of Ireland. Most of the students wouldn't have been. And so for those who were, it informed their practice. It kind of guided what they were doing. But for those who weren't, it was a part of the school, but not all important, you know. Mm-hmm. They felt that.
Craig, just your thoughts on that, because we have heard a lot about the need, as some say, to divest schools from religious orders over the years. But then you hear that the students and the staff are very comfortable with it.
Yeah, and I think that reflects maybe the light touch that a lot of us have in terms of the religious ethos of our schools, but also the fact that our schools are so inherently positive, and they're such broad places now that it's no surprise to me really that students would buy into what's on offer, and that when they pull on the jersey or they go on the stage or they're asked about their school, they show a pride in that, and they really want to be a part of the collective and the community, and that comes from positive staff members. It comes from parents buying into the ethos of the school, and so it becomes part of our identity. And I think, like, as humans, we all want that identity, we all want that collective, and to see our students embodying that and then saying that they're proud of it is no surprise, but it's mm-hmm. great to hear.
Okay, well, let's talk about Irish then, because I mentioned that, Eamon, at the start. So the attitudes around the Irish language, what did you find?
Yeah, so unfortunately, this wasn't a major focus of the study, so we don't have a huge amount, but what we have certainly would suggest that things aren't great. So students in second and fifth year were asked whether they found Irish interesting and whether they found it difficult. And a huge majority of them found it difficult, and fewer than 20% found it interesting. So we also asked them about other subjects like maths and English and science, and their students were much more positive about finding it interesting. So Irish really stood out.
Okay, so when it came to maths and the other subjects, what were the broad breakdown in the percentages there?
It was kind of 50% or above in all of them.
Okay, where it's 20% found Irish difficult. Craig, that doesn't say a lot for how English is, or how Irish is being taught in our schools, does it?
Yeah, and I suppose I need to be really careful here. Like, the Irish teachers in my school are brilliant, you know, and our students would say the same. But I think when we pit Irish against other subjects, which is what we do when we give maths an extra 25 points, and which is what we do when we say you may choose other subjects, but you must do Irish, and you must do maths, which has these extra points, and you must do English, which is the language that most of us would speak, then we are automatically disadvantaging Irish, and we are putting it in second place. And then when we say that you may get an exemption from Irish for various different things, then we're also saying that it's a subject that some people could take, but some people may not take. And so we're starting from a position where Irish is maybe not given the esteem that it needs to be. And I think our students will respond to that. You know, they've responded in maths. They've responded by working harder and by making sure they're trying to take the higher level. Not always sensibly, but they are responding to that by making sure that they are giving it the priority that we give it as a society.
So what should we do? Extra points for Irish?
No, I'm not a massive fan of extra points for anything, to be honest with you. I think we need to give these things parity of esteem. In my ideal world, I suppose I'd like to have an Irish that everybody takes, and then an Irish for Irish lovers course, almost like we have applied maths for our maths students who excel in those areas, who do higher level maths, who might do physics. They want to go on and do applied maths as well as one of their choice subjects. Then maybe an extra language there, Irish at a very high level, would be something that they could pursue. But I think as long as we keep trying to squeeze everybody into the one area and say that it's not as important a subject as others, then it's going to be the poor relation.
All right. Well, there's plenty for our educators to think about there in all of that. Craig Petrie, thank you very much. And Dr. Eamon Carroll, who's postdoctoral researcher with the ESRI.